this episode, we get hit with some truth from Dr. Rich Benjamin.
You're listening to the Cairo Compass Podcast with Dr. Norm DeBalos.
Well, welcome back to another episode of the Cairo Compass Podcast, where our goal is to help prepare students and new graduates for the real world of chiropractic practice. It's been over a year since we uploaded a podcast. My apologies for that absence, but that's a story for another episode. On this episode, we're talking with chiropractic veteran Dr. Rich Benjamin. Those of you who know Dr. Rich know he doesn't pull any punches when talking about Gonstead or chiropractic philosophy. So strap in and help me welcome Dr. Rich Benjamin. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I'm joined by a dear friend of mine, Dr. Rich Benjamin, who practices in Fort Mill, South Carolina, right on the outskirts of Charlotte. Rich and I have known each other, oh my goodness, back in chiropractic school in the 1990s, I guess.
2000 is when I started. Yeah. So 22 years.
22 years. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Right? Every time I say that, I just feel old, you know, whenever I talk to a veteran like yourself. But let's just jump to it. I mean, Dr. Rich has a lot to say. He's got a lot of advice. You know, he doesn't mince words, so let's put him in the spotlight. So, Dr. Rich, please introduce yourself. Tell us, where you're from. You know, what got you into chiropractic?
Yeah, I started Life University in 2000. What got me in was actually like a Hail Mary, basically. You know, my dad was kind of like, "What are you going to do with a biology degree if you don't want to go to medical school?" Which I really didn't want to. After working in hospitals, my mom is a psychiatric nurse practitioner, and you know, just kind of watching and being around that environment, I knew intrinsically it wasn't for me. I kind of had a spiritual moment when I was in the hallway of a hospital one day, and I just felt, you know, I felt this voice telling me that this is not for me. And all I wanted to do, since I couldn't go, my dad wouldn't let me join the military, is I was like, well, if I can't shoot people, maybe I can heal them up, you know? So I wanted to be a surgeon, you know? And that's what I thought I was going to do. But the reality of working in the hospital just did not fit my personality. Because the thing that struck me is that nobody goes into a hospital to get well. It's not like what you see on TV, right? They just go into a hospital to get stabilized. The healing happens after. Mm-hmm. It happens outside the hospital. And that was a very disappointing, shall I say, experience for me, because I was expecting like a Dr. House moment. Like, you know, I walk into the room and, you know, we've just done this major heart surgery and sir, you're going to be all better. And thanks, doctor. It's not that way at all. Right. You know, and it's especially bad now with the insurance companies and the way that that's being run, is that the patient care is dictated by somebody in a cubicle, like in Bangalore, India. And it's like, well, how is that appropriate care?
Right.
You know, so I, in talking to surgeons and talking to the guys that were in the trenches of the hospital, especially the older docs, you know, that graduated in like the 60s and 70s, who are at the tail end of their career, they were like, it's a way different game than it was back in the 70s and 80s when they were on the cutting edge and the doctors were in charge. And you know, the hospital system said, hey, look, as long as you're getting sick people well, you can innovate, you can do things. And now it's always the path of least resistance, right? It's
what's already covered and what's
right. It's the cheapest, it's the fastest way in the fastest time at the cheapest cost.
Yeah.
And it's like not conducive for patient care. And I was like, man, I don't know what to do. You know, I was preparing to take my MCAT and everything. And, you know, I had to go back to my parents and tell them, look, I'm not going to medical school. And that was a tough pill for, you know, an Southeast Asian Indian family to know that their golden child is not going to go to medical school. Because, right, you know, you're right. A doctor, a lawyer, an engineer. I mean, that's it, you know.
Right.
And so my dad, being my dad, was doing some research. And he found like the top five paying jobs with a biology degree was, and that the number four spot was chiropractor.
Okay.
And he was like, why don't you try chiropractic? And I'm like, Dad, chiropractic sucks. it's glorified therapy. I'd been to a chiropractor after being in a car accident. And, you know, once the lawyer told me to stop going, I stopped going. You know, and I didn't. And it's just a diversified, you know, practice with therapies and the ultrasound and all that stuff. I mean, I went through it and I'm like, I mean, this is chiropractic. I mean, it doesn't do anything for me, you know? I didn't feel any significant change. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I said to my dad, I'm like, let me try chiropractic school, because the first 2 years of Life University at the time, I don't know if it's different now, but the curriculum was almost identical to medical school.
Right.
Right. So I thought to myself,
transfer out if you needed to.
Yeah. Yeah. I had an option. And so my dad and I made a deal, and I said to him, like, look, if this doesn't work out and I roll, don't get mad, and just I'll roll and then transfer and go to like St. George Medical School in the Caribbean or something. Right. I'll find a way, you know?
Yeah.
And so I started Life University, and about 6 months in, so my second quarter, you know, I was really struggling with my health. Like I had a really horrible knee pain. I had a partially torn rotator cuff, and I really couldn't sleep very well. Like I was sleeping for 3 hours at night, just tossing and turning and falling asleep in class. And, you know, I had to go up to, like, I don't know if you remember Dr. DeMons. Do you remember him? You know, so I walked up to him, and I was like deathly afraid that he was going to call me out in the middle of class. Right. Yeah, so I go to him and I was like, doc, look, I'm really struggling with sleep. If I pass out in your class, it's not because of disrespect.
Right, right.
You know, because, you know, he's an old Marine. Like, he would have thrown a shoe at me or something like that. Exactly. You know? And I'm like, I'm telling you, I'm just really struggling. It's like narcolepsy bad. And he's like, you know where you are, right? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you're getting adjusted, right? I'm like, every day. And he's like, who are you seeing? I'm like, everybody. Anybody. Nuka, SOT, whatever, I was going, right? And I was going to all the gurus on campus to try to help me with my problem.
Right.
And, you know, finally I was just like, oh man, this is terrible. And then I remember talking to Dave, I can't even remember his last name anymore. So it was Dave and then I think Matt and, you know, just in his, they were like,
Schlossberg,
that's it. And he's like, you ever heard about Gonstead? And I was like, no, what is that? That's like some like next level upper class stuff, right? You don't get that when you're like, you know, when you're first starting out,
right.
You know, it's all Mopal diversified stuff. And he's like, why don't you come? We're going to Dr. Mike Stewart's office in Kennesaw for a workshop on Monday night. Why don't you come check it out? I was like, cool. And so, you know, walking into Dr. Mike's clinic, as you know, there was a sense of like, this is serious business.
Yeah.
Like when he walked out, you know, in his white shirt and his khaki pants and, you know, and he starts putting up x-rays and he starts talking about the cases and you're just like, wait, what? Yeah. I'm like, this kind of stuff can be helped with chiropractic? No freaking way.
Right.
You know, and then my head just goes, boof.
Right.
You know, mind blown. And so I walked up to Dr. Mike at the end of the night and I'm like, hey, doc, what? I'd love this. And like, can you help me? And he's like, do you have any x-rays? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, I can't do anything for you. I'm like, get x-rays. If you're serious, come to my office, get x-rays, and then we'll see what's up.
Right.
So I did, you know, and I'm like, challenge accepted, right? So I go to his office. You know, I didn't fill out anything on the intake form except my name and address and phone number and stuff like that. Didn't tell him what was going on. I'm like, if this guy, let me test this guy, right? You know, here I am, this cocky kid, right? Just trying to test this doctor, see if he knows.
Exactly.
So he takes films and he comes out of the dark room and he puts the films up on the view box and he starts doing his markings. And I was just like, what the heck? This guy's using a protractor and this pencil. I'm like, what is he doing?
Just drafting class. What's going on?
I was like, yeah, it's just weird, right? So he starts doing all this stuff and then he doesn't say anything to me. He just goes, And then he sits me down and you know, I have my shirt off and he takes the meter and he runs it down my back and he's poking and prodding. And it's just effortless and gentle. Like he's barely moving me right with his palpation. And I'm like, this guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. This is what I'm thinking right in my head.
This is not chiropractic or nothing that I've experienced before.
I'm like, why am I not getting? So he's like, okay, we're going to go ahead and adjust you. And so then he goes back up to the films and he goes, do your knees hurt? I'm like, yeah, real bad. And he goes, well, it's because of your broken tailbone. Nobody's told you had that, right? And I'm like, no, you got like a severely degenerated disc at L5. You have a poker spine because of all the rotation in your sacrum. You've got 3 compression fractures in your upper back. I bet you that's why your right shoulder hurts. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Right. And then he's like, you have a complete reverse curve in your cervical spine. And it looks like you've had multiple head injuries. And he's like, let me guess, you also don't sleep very well. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, just
who told this guy? Yeah.
You know, this is like some magic voodoo stuff with his little dowager rod that he used on my back. And he figured that out. I'm like, you kidding? So he's like, okay, we're going to go ahead and give you an adjustment. So I run over to the pelvic bench and I get into the fetal position, you know, because I'm just like used to getting torqued. Right. And so then he's like, no, get your big ass on the knee chest. And I'm like, okay.
What is this table?
And so I get on the knee chest and he's like, drop your belly down, stick your ass on. Like, you never want to be told that by another man, you know, you never want to be told that by anybody. And I'm just like, wow, I'm about to be violated on this thing, you know? So then, you know, he does that. He put his hands on my back, just real soft, real gentle. And then I felt his stabilization hand come on there and he taps me on my back with his finger. He's like, drop your belly. And I did. And holy mackerel, he buried it.
Yeah.
Clunk, right? And just like, I had this paralytic fire going down my sciatic nerves. You know, and it just knocked the breath out of me and I instantly broke out into a major sweat. And I thought, holy shit, I'm paralyzed. You know, this man has paralyzed me. And before I could even move or breathe, he set my T12, he set my T4.
He's a bone setter.
I mean, just set it, right? And I thought to myself, if I can get up off of this table, I need to beat the hell out of this man. Like, because I've just been assaulted, you know?
Right.
But I get up off the table and he doesn't even say anything, just acknowledge. And like, I'm in a rage and he's just like, sit down. And I just sat down, you know, and crushed my condyle on the right and atlas on the left, ASLP.
Wow.
I mean, just, and you know, the noise is like, you know, it's just this explosion, right? Mm. And I was just like, whew, I thought I was going to pass out, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like, what in the hell was that? He's like, that was an adjustment.
Yeah. You've been spinning your wheel, son.
Yeah. I was like, I've never experienced anything like that before in my life. He's like, yeah, that's why you aren't getting better.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, okay. He's like, squat. I'm like, I haven't squatted in months, doc, my knees. He's like, stop crying and squat. You know, I squatted all the way down and all the way back up and my knees didn't click. There was no pain. I couldn't believe it. You know, I went back to my little apartment, you know, and I slept for 16 hours straight. I'll never forget, you know, and I called him up the next day, you know, because I missed all my classes and I'm like, is this normal? He's like, hell yeah, your body needs to heal.
Yeah. It's been wanting to do that for so long. You just hadn't been able to.
Yeah. Enjoy the sleep, you know, and I've never had a problem with my knees since, you know, and that's when I begged him. Mm-hmm. I went back and I begged him. I'm like, I need to learn. Yeah. I want to learn from you, you know? And I immediately joined Gonset Club and, you know, I got certified in my sixth quarter. You were there for that, you know? And I was just like, that's it. There was no turning back for me because the truth, once you see the truth, you know, there's nothing else. There's just nothing else for you.
Yeah.
And so then I started interning with him and he didn't want me there in the beginning.
Right.
And he didn't want me there at all. He's like, I don't have time to babysit your ass, kid. Right. And I'm like, I will do whatever it takes. Like, I took out the trash. I cleaned the toilets. I babysat his kids. I freaking mulched his house. Like, he's like, you know, I would wash his car. I mean, I got him gas and Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Right. You know, I mean, just, you know, he was a fan of Dunkin' Donuts coffee, but I did. And eventually he's like, okay, you're serious. I'm like, yeah. You know, and that became my journey, and I will be forever grateful to that man.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Fight Club. It's like, all right, you got to show how serious you are before I'll take you in here.
Yeah, I mean,
he's helped just a whole generation. You know, really wasn't his goal per se, but yeah, he's helped a lot of us. You know, like you know, you, me, Mike, Rob, Dan Bay, like all these guys that, you know. Anyway, I could go on and on with that list. But yeah, so when you were there right with all that accreditation funk, right?
Yeah.
So then you transferred over to Sherman.
I transferred to Sherman, and I finished out at Sherman, and it was interesting going from Life University to Sherman because Sherman at the time was so backward.
Really.
And like, we already had a reputation coming in, you know, they thought the Gonsed Nazis were coming and Richard Benjamin is their Adolf, you know? And I'm like, well, Sieg Heil motherfuckers, cause we're coming, right. you know, so we walked in and basically took over the club and, you know, realized that the caliber of teaching in the club was really poor.
Yeah.
You know, Life University's Gonsed Club was at that time, I think about 200 strong.
Yeah.
You know, every day, every week, there was something. I mean, you know, our certified members were just, I mean, the most smart. Like, you would go up there and teach stuff. And I'm like, how the hell does this guy know all this? You know? And so it's just like, you know, it was being around people like that at that time was so galvanizing and so powerful because you wanted to be these guys in the black shirts with the gold, you know, pin and, you know, you wanted to be that. You wanted to be and the way that they walked around campus. I'm like, Mike Robb and Dan Bay and you guys, and Jose, I mean, you guys were gods among men, you know? It's like,
no, we were just cocky.
Yeah. Well, you know, but that was exciting to me. I was like, man, I want to be like these guys, you know, I want to be, you know, just so sure of what they were doing, you know? And I was like, yeah, this is it.
Right.
You know, and that all went away with that whole thing, that whole witch hunt on Life University, you know, that that all went away. And so we try to bring that to Sherman, but that the whole aura of that school was really about don't rock the boat. Everybody's okay. All inclusive, bag of tricks. We're all going to make it. And that's just not the reality of the world. I agree. You know, so we tried. And I'm just very grateful to have graduated without incident, shall we say.
Right.
You know, hiding a meter in clinic and all that kind of stuff. I mean, just the stuff that we went through just to practice our craft and the hate that we get as Gonsed guys and gals, you know, to say that we're closed-minded. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just stones thrown by angry people who at the end of the day are just not good enough. And at the, you know, and they hate the fact that you're so dedicated and you're so focused. They're just like crabs in a bucket. They don't want to see you succeed. You know, you climb to the top and they want to pull you down. And so, you know, as the kids say nowadays, hate is going to hate.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I wanted them to hate me. It's fuel to my fire. You can call me whatever you want.
Because it wasn't, you know, that Gonsed method is not built on blind faith. I mean, it's built on objective criteria. So it's like, yeah, do you want to argue? I mean, we can, you know, let's talk about the principles. I think I did want to say you touched on a good point that I've mentioned before. I think in schools now, what's being taught is it all works. And that statement just can't be true, you know, because there are techniques that are mutually exclusive. So it can't all work. I think they all have some sort of merit, but I wouldn't say they all work. That's like saying all restaurants are equally healthy. It's like, well, they're not. Right. So if in that paradigm, if it truly all did work, then learning a supine is a lot easier than learning cervical chair. So if they're truly equal, why would I ever spend years trying to master cervical chair when I can learn a supine in 20 minutes? So I think a lot of the students are just being taught that, unfortunately, by a lot of teachers who are not, you know, proficient. So that kind of paradigm creates a generation of chiropractors or creates graduates who are learning, in my opinion, substandard technique. And then they struggle in practice financially. And then they also try to incorporate a lot of therapies and things to make up for the sloppy technique. And I think if they got better at technique, their reliance on other stuff would be a lot less. That's my two cents.
Yeah, in my experience, no one can give a damn adjustment anymore, right? It's all everybody's so afraid. It's this little dinky, namby-pamby little, oh, we got to click. And, you know, it's insanity. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me from a scientific point of view, right? You get a guy that's in a car accident. And the type of force that is exerted on the human body in even a 25 to 30 mile per hour impact inside a vehicle, you have to calculate the momentum of the vehicle, the force, acceleration, and then the stopping and what that does to a spine. You're trying to tell me an activator is going to correct that problem, right? Like, what are we in the business of doing? We're in the business of correcting subluxations. In the Gonsad work, what is a subluxation? Any disorder of the disc, because a freaking muscle doesn't pull a bone out of place.
Correct.
I challenge someone to do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it in front of me right now that you can't, right? So when someone, oh, it's my piriformis. My piriformis is pulling my, no, no, you know?
Right. So, muscle just a piece of meat till the nerve tells it what to do.
The nerve is telling it what to do. Like, where's your guidance? Is this not the book? Yeah. Are we reading the same book? Because that's the book I got, right? So if you cannot reposition that disc using the vertebra as a lever properly, deeply back into its normal position, you are doing the patient a disservice. You are creating trauma. Mm-hmm. You are not correcting subluxation.
Right.
And so nobody can, I mean, it's like we're losing the art of delivering a specific adjustment, mm-hmm. right? A corrective adjustment. Mm-hmm. It's not happening.
Yeah.
And it's because of this mentality that it all works and all works and all you need is philosophy. Cool. If that's the case, let me run around with a shovel and start whacking people.
Right.
You know, with a good intent in my heart, and innate will sort it out.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
No.
You know, so we really came across a lot of that. You know, and I graduated in 2005. So
right.
Things haven't changed. In fact, they've gotten worse. And mm-hmm. the caliber of student that's coming out of school, their teaching, their passion is really diminished. Mm-hmm. And the biggest question that students ask me when I see them is how much money can they make?
Wow.
And that's heartbreaking because, you know, we're in a service industry. Mm-hmm. And the first question should always be, what can I do to the best of my ability to help the patient?
To be a better servant.
Because once I can do that, the money comes.
Exactly.
Right? All the money is the shavings on the floor mm-hmm. of a carpenter or a master craftsman at his work. That's it. It's the work, yep. right? It's the correction of that subluxation, that adjustment. That's the mastery. And right. if we can do that, the money will come.
Exactly. Agreed. So getting back to, I want everybody to hear your story. So you graduated from Sherman in 2005, and yep. then I know you didn't go right to South Carolina. Where did you go after that?
So graduated Sherman 2005. I was going to work with another Gonsad chiropractor here in Charlotte with a buddy of mine. Mm. We were going to practice together.
Right.
My buddy ended up pulling out last minute. Mm. And so the doctor and I were trying to figure out our logistics. Mm. And, you know, then he comes back to me and be like, hey, this is how much it's going to cost. And I'm like, man, I can't afford that. Right. You know, I can't afford to pay you, you know, thousands of dollars or several thousand dollars a month, mm. you know, and have no experience, you know, myself in running a business. Cause I, you know, the Gonsad seminars would always tell you, you know, just hang a shingle and the money comes.
Right.
And yes and no, correct. You know, I'm not
going to back in the day. Yes, but not, yes. not so much.
I'm not going to argue with, you know, Dr. Alex and Dr. Doug. I'm never going to argue with them.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I'm just like, yes, yeah. yes, it will. The question is how fast, correct. You know? Yeah. So, you know, when you're coming out of school and you have bills to pay, like I needed to do things on the cheap. So I basically struck out on my own and I found myself a little 1,000-square-foot clinic on a podunk road in the middle of nowhere, South Carolina mm-hmm. at the time.
Right.
And started just, you know, seeing patients. And it wasn't until in 2 years I found a buddy of mine called me and he told me about AMC and you know, and Advanced Management for Chiropractors. And I went down to a seminar with them and it really changed my life because it taught me how the business side of chiropractic, which I had no idea about, you know, and also taught me how to talk to patients, because when you come out of school, you're very much in your cerebral mindset in your head about like, well, why don't you know this? This is freaking obvious. Well, it's obvious to us, right? Because we've been in that microcosm of school for so long that it's just in our nature to understand the mechanism and cause of subluxation. Patients don't get it.
They don't get it and they don't care. They me hurt, you fix.
That's it. They have no concept behind what is in front of them and they don't care how good you are and what they don't care. They want to fix you to fix their problem, get them out of pain or whatever it is they come to you with and then move on with their lives, right. You know? So they care more about a big screen TV than their health. And that's just society. It is what it is, right?
Right.
So I started up with AMC and it really took my practice from where I was seeing like 5 to 10 people a week to where I started seeing about 50 a day out of 2 rooms in 1,000 square foot with me and one staff. And so then I had to very quickly break the lease in that 1,000 square foot place and find a 3,000 square foot clinic, which I'm still in today,
right.
You know, with multiple staff, multiple rooms, and to where we're seeing probably about 90 to 100 a day. That's just me. So, it was instrumental in my transformation and expanding my concepts on how to talk to people and how to get referrals, like, and why it's important to talk to people about referrals and doing a patient orientation class and educating people about chiropractic because they just don't know. You know, they don't know about their own bodies. They don't have any idea about this vehicle that they're in. They have no clue,
right.
Which always blew my mind.
Educated decision unless they're educated. So you got to educate them.
I mean, yeah, most people know more about Pokemon than they do about the workings of their own human body. Like, you know, and I'm like, well, shouldn't you know? Shouldn't you be educated? So it's your job. It's your job. You know, doctor means teacher in Greek, right? So it's your job to teach them. And AMC taught me how to teach patients to be better patients because I wanted a stress-free, referral-based practice that was only chiropractic. Yeah. The only therapy that we have is we give a patient an ice pack. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to...
No.
Yeah, right? I mean, I didn't want to sell anything. I didn't want to have any therapies, massage, multidisciplinary, all that stuff. I didn't want any of it. I wanted to be like, chiropractic is good enough on its own.
Right.
Or it should be. Right. And so I wanted to practice that way. No insurance. This is it. This is what you're paying for. You're paying for a bomb ass adjustment.
Right.
Right. Which is going to change your life, hopefully. And that's what I try to deliver.
Yeah.
So that's been my journey and still going strong. And I still absolutely love it. And yes. Can't see myself practicing any other way. In fact, I won't practice any other way.
Right. Right.
Like I won't, I'd rather not be in practice.
Yeah, than rather just hang it up.
No, not going to do it. Yep. You know? So I'll remember Dr. Alex, you know, he finally stopped when the insurance just got to be too much.
Yeah.
And I get that, you know, because Dr. Alex Cox is probably the greatest adjuster alive. Right. And that's hard to dispute that. And so when you try to take someone like that, of that caliber, when you try to make his day more about paperwork, rather than pursuing this passion that he's had for 60 years,
right.
You know, no, he's not going to do it. I understand, you know? Yeah. So if anything was to change about the way I practice, I wouldn't do it.
Got it.
Yeah. Plenty of ways to make money.
Well, and kind of on that tip, looking back, not to ask, would you do anything differently, but what would, you know, if you were to give advice to a student, somebody who's in school right now, what would be your advice to them right now to get the most? Because if the chiropractic, education, if the chiropractic schooling is changing and it's kind of getting watered down, what's something that a student can do now to get themselves prepared for the real world?
Well, the two things that I think are non-negotiable is, one, you need to specialize in a technique, right? Hopefully it's Gonstead, but it really, really matters that you specialize in one system of chiropractic.
Right.
Right. And not be a jack of all trades, master of none, because they're a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
You know, there's four of them upstairs from me.
Yeah.
And they all come to me to get adjusted. I'm like, why? Exactly. You know, I mean, it's good for you and it's good for your family and it's good for when things really hit the fan, but you're not doing that for your patients. It always blew my mind, you know, how you could be that kind of a person. I don't get it. So number one, have a specific system of chiropractic. Number two, have a good management company in your back pocket. You know, I think that you need that type of education. You need to be educated in the business of chiropractic.
Right.
And there's a ton of them out there. And I think you need to find the one that works for you. That's not a guerrilla tactic, hard selling type of thing, but teaches you how to manage patients, teaches you how to talk to patients, teaches you how to do screenings.
Right.
And when you're starting up, and you need to find that. And I would add one other thing is, you have to be bold and you have to do the things that are uncomfortable. So if you don't like public speaking, get over it.
Yeah.
If you don't want to go door to door, get over it.
Yeah.
Right. One of the best books I've ever read was Rejection Proof by Jaya Jang. Mm. And, you know, it really will overcome your fear of rejection, because that's what keeps a lot of people from going out there and doing stuff like that. You know, if my coach, when I was in AMC, told me to dress up in a pink tutu and stand outside a Walmart, you know, to get patients, I would have. Luckily, I never had to do that, because that's an ugly ass sight. But, you know,
right.
I would, because you're not too good for anything.
Right.
Right. When you're first starting out, you are not too good. Nothing is beneath you.
Right.
Right. So get good at running the front desk. Know your systems. Know how to do it all. Because I did, you know, for a lot of years, it was just me and my clinic until I could afford to pay for staff.
Right.
You know, so you have to be able to put your ego aside and do the things that are uncomfortable.
Yeah, I do see that with a lot of new graduates who are like, oh, I don't want to do screenings. I don't like screenings. Like, well, yeah, you don't like broccoli either. You know what? Eat the broccoli.
You don't like patients then.
Yeah, exactly.
Because patients, like, I don't care what the social media says. They're not going to come to you because they see your pretty face on social media adjusting a scantily clad woman. Right. They're not going to come. They're not going to come to you for that.
Right.
Right. They're going to be like, oh, that's nice. Moving on. The human beings haven't changed. Right. It's still about a personal connection. Sure. So there's a personal connection. If you're taking time and sweating your nuts off outside at a spring fair somewhere, you know, pressing hands.
Yeah.
Politicians still do it for a reason.
Right.
So that you can actually have that initial screening with the patient and be like, hey, what's going on? Right. You know, have you ever thought about chiropractic? Well, you know, what does that do for you? I'm like, oh, I don't like chiropractors. And then you shut off. I'm like, great. What don't you like about them?
Right.
And then that's an opportunity to interact. You know, it's an opportunity to say, you know what? I agree with you. That's why I practice this way.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I don't like those guys either.
Yeah. You know, there's always an opportunity to talk to somebody, you know, and I wish I had learned that sooner, because it would have saved me a lot of time learning how to do things the right way instead of learning how to not do things the wrong way, you know?
Right.
So it's all time. So if you can hit the ground running after school with, you know, some time spent in a management company, a technique, like dedication to a technique, and not going once a week to a technique class in school.
Right. That's the right. Which is,
I mean, that's just like nothing. And that's like, oh yeah, I've put my time in. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like I've been at seminars and looking at people like, well, I've put a lot of hours into it. I'm like, no, you haven't.
Right.
You're kidding yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. Your side posture looks like you're falling over somebody. That's not a lot of time. Right. Right. I mean, your cervical chair looks like you're trying to decapitate somebody. I'm like, right. What are you doing? You know, that's, I mean, we're talking time. We're talking thousands of hours.
Absolutely.
We're speaking of Jose Cortez. Yeah. I mean, talking about what's on page 52 of the chapters. Oh, you don't know? Get out of my house. And he throws something at you. You know what I mean? Like, that's where we came from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're like, your shit's weak now.
Right.
Let's all hold hands and everybody's special and kumbaya. Fuck yeah. All that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I'm with you. And you know, kind of you were talking about how you shadowed Mike Stewart. Would you recommend that students get out there and try to shadow practices?
Absolutely. Especially if there's a doctor that they click with. Like if you see a doctor at a seminar, mm-hmm. and he or she looks like they've got their stuff together, right? That they look like they're switched on and they're like, you know,
yeah.
Go visit them. Go talk to them. It's like, hey, can I pick your brain? Can I follow you? Can I? You can always learn from anyone, right? Exactly. Of course.
Either but something you want to do or something you don't want to do. Because I've had several of those too.
Yes, but you can always go and see different practices and see what kind of fits in your view and then make it your own, right. You know? So you don't ever want to copy someone's style. Like I'm a hugger. I hug all my patients, mm-hmm. but if you don't like to hug people, don't hug them.
Right.
You know, cause it's inauthentic. You have to figure out what's authentically you
right.
and be okay with that.
And I would echo that when you talked about management companies, you know, if you find a management company that's got a specific script and then you're like, I would never say things this way. Well, then maybe that management company is not for you. There's a ton of different ways to go about it. You know, I think a lot of these guys, a lot of the management companies have figured it out over the years and they kind of evolve their scripts as well. So, you know, I think just like shadowing multiple doctors, go to multiple management seminars and see, kind of see what the common themes are, see what jives with you and what doesn't jive with you.
Right. And one of the big things that I think the technology now is so good, and we didn't have that, you know, 15, 20 years ago, yeah. is the ability to record yourself talking.
Yeah.
Right. To watch yourself play in playback. And you see that, you know, you make a lot of errors. Like when I started doing videos, I did this weird Sylvester Stallone thing with my lip and I would always curl it. And I'm like, what are you, Elvis? Like, what are you doing? You know, and I had to like really work on that when I was talking, you know, and I probably still do it to some degree, but right. it was definitely very noticeable before.
Yeah.
And just little things like, you know, there's when I'm working with people when we're at seminars and stuff, they're like, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm, uh-huh, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you doing?
Right. Stop it.
I'm like, stop doing that. They're like, what? You go, mm-hmm, uh-huh, okay, mm-hmm, uh-huh. I'm like, what? No, stop that. It makes you sound weird and creepy. Stop doing it. You know? And they were like, oh, I didn't even realize I was doing it. I'm like, because you don't record yourself.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you need to be able to look in the mirror and talk to yourself and find out, oh, is that, what am I sounding like? So if you're doing a report of findings for a patient, you know, you don't want to sound like, you know, you're like Elmer Fudd reading this, like, oh, yeah, you've got a stage 4 disc at like L5. And, you know, you got to make it to where the patient can follow you and feel
right
connected. Right. And one of the things that really struck me is this quote, that 60% of our communication is nonverbal.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
Right. That's huge because that means body language matters. The energy that you project matters, mm-hmm. right? Eye contact, what you're doing with your hands.
Right.
Right. You know, people that lick their lips all the time. Mm-hmm. That's a red flag for people.
Yeah.
We're like, this dude wants my money or something else. You know, where the kids at? You know, hide the kids because this, you know, the lip licker is coming. Right. You know? Right. So, you know, all this stuff, all these little things. It's all part of your education.
Right.
And the wonderful thing about a chiropractic practice is that it makes you a better person. Mm. As the years go by, and the more you're successful, the more well-rounded and in tune with who you are, you become. At least that's the case for me.
Yeah.
I know exactly who I am. Mm-hmm. I make no pretenses about it.
Right.
And, you know, I feel very grateful to be that much in touch with my innate self.
Mm-hmm. And is it, so you're saying you kind of discovered that through practice, like as the years went on?
I've had to, mm-hmm. right? I've had to strip away the horseshit and get down to who I really am. Mm-hmm. Because you can't be fake and make it in this profession.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, you can, but it's not fun.
It's going to be limited. Yeah. And you're going to burn out if you're swimming upstream against the way your authentic self wants to be, then, you know, you're just going to be exhausted and you're going to burn out.
And that doesn't, and people think that, you know, you have to be this happy-go-lucky guy. You know, when I put my white coat on, and I wear a white coat because it matters. You know, I put my white coat on and Dr. Rich, I mean, or Dr. B as they call me, I mean, he's always happy. Mm-hmm. He's positive. Yep. You know, he's excited to be there. He smells good. You know, Rich is an asshole. You know, so,
so buddy mouth, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you got those two sides and it's nice to have that dichotomy, right? When you put that coat on, when you walk into your clinic, it elevates you into the best self that you are. You know, and it's just such a beautiful thing to be able to do that. And, you know, I don't like taking a lot of vacation time away from my practice because I feel like that's a disconnection from my higher self.
Right.
You know, Dr. Benjamin is the highest and best version of Rich Benjamin that there ever is.
Wow. You are definitely in the right profession, my friend.
You know? And that's just, it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, and I have those things as well. Like, you know, I try to do those things as a husband, as a father, you know, they're equally up there, but right. that's those three things that I really try very hard to be the best version of myself.
Right. Agreed. So I know our time difference. I know it's getting late where you are. A couple more questions for you though. Just again, our target audience is students and new graduates. So would you recommend, and you know, I've kind of gotten multiple different answers to this one. When somebody graduates, would you recommend they open on their own? Would you recommend they associate? Would you recommend?
I recommend that they follow their authentic self.
Got it.
Right. And you have to know who you are. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be Michael Jordan, but guess what? There's only one Michael Jordan.
Correct.
You know, and you have to be, you have to understand who you are, what your personality is, and how hard are you willing to break your balls?
Right.
Right. Because anyone can do it. Not everybody should.
Correct. Correct. That's right? Kind of why I was asking, because it's not for everyone. And I think And what I've seen is a lot of people who try to start in practice end up struggling because most of the time they're just taught that same kind of thing. Like, I believe in chiropractic. I'm just going to turn on my open sign. And where's my $1 million? You're like, it doesn't happen like that. So,
you and I are very much the strong personality, lone wolf.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what to do. Give me an objective. I will get it done. You know, we don't play well with other people, you know, don't leave me alone and let me work. Shut up.
Right.
Right. But there's definitely a lot of people out there that want to be part of a team that have, you know, and I'll tell you, just to give you an idea, this is who I'm looking for to join my practice, right? I'm looking for a person that wants to come into the practice and learn and absorb.
Yeah.
Right. Be part of the team, go in there and just stick it out. I want how Gonsaid got those guys like Doug and Alex and Clinton and, you know,
Dressler,
Dressler just to come in there and be like, I love what you're doing. I'm dedicated to you. I want to be a part of this. I don't want to take this and change it. Can you imagine if Alex and Doug walked into that clinic and be like, yeah, I like what you're doing, but guess what? I'm going to just go off to the next town over and I'm going to do what you're doing, but put my own spin on it.
Right.
Where would we be?
Yeah. Or if they were like, yeah, I'm done. It's 5 o'clock. I'm cutting out of work instead of working to like 2 a.m. with Clarence.
I mean, I just love those guys for that. Just to put the humility that they had, yeah, to put their egos aside, the dedication, sacrifice to their families, and their dedication to this little Norwegian man. You know, I mean, it's just so cool. It's just so cool. And like, I would do that because, you know, I would give anything to sit on Gonsed's knee for 30 minutes.
Right.
You know. I mean, I would.
You give him rheumatoid arthritis in that knee again, man. Come on.
Yeah, well, I'm a little too big for that. You know, but I mean, I just would sit there, and if he told me to do something, like, yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know, I would just go do it, just to do that. That's kind of what you, if you're not going to go out there and open your own practice, that's the kind of mentality you should have. Mm-hmm. I'm going to join this practice. I'm going to learn. I'm going to dedicate myself to that. I'm going to do whatever the head of the practice tells me to do, mm-hmm, and I'm going to absorb it. And then, you know what? If 5-10 years down the road, you're just like, hey, I'm ready to spread my wings and go out on my own, so be it.
Right.
But not everybody can go out there and run a monster, well, you know, mega practice,
right,
by themselves. Plus it's expensive.
Yep.
Especially nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I think a lot of I would say for the vast majority of students, I would tell them, especially if they've not been shadowing anybody during school, like get out, be an associate for a couple of years, because there's so many things that you don't know that you don't know that you need to find out about before you spread your wings. But, you know, along those lines, I do know of a few people who have started their own right out of the gate and were successful with it because they're willing to put in the long hours and they're not sitting there saying, you know, I earned it because I have a degree, so where are all my patients? Just give them to me, universe. Like, that's not how it works.
You know, I would say, you know, if I had to do anything different, I would have done that. I would have gone to work for somebody.
Yeah.
It would have made my life a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, I had to learn everything the hard way.
Yeah.
You know, and if I could save somebody the pain and the struggle, especially if you're married and you have children, please don't put your family under that stress.
Yeah. If you've already got the student loans, you know, and you're going to try to get a business loan with that much debt, you know, it's tough, but you're just,
no, you have really to have collateral.
Yeah.
You got to put your house up.
Yep.
You know, so why would you do that when you can find, and the heartache of finding staff and buying equipment and build outs, it's just, you know, if you could find someone that has that stuff already,
learn on somebody else's time.
Yeah. Start making some money, start getting your hands on people. And it offers you, and putting your ego aside, right? Pride is a very, very dangerous thing for a Gonsed doctor, and I see it all the time. Oh, yeah. It's such a big dick measuring contest. It makes me sick. You know, it's just so annoying. It's like, if you try to do that with me in the room, I'm going to knock your ass out, just so you know,
right?
Because I don't have any respect for people who want to show their E-peen on Facebook about how smart they are and how much radiological stuff that they know. Have no respect for that at all, okay? It's... You know, put your pride aside and do what it takes for the patient.
Right.
All right. Nobody is giving a good enough adjustment like the old man, or like Dr. Alex or Dr. Doug or Dr. Dressler. You're not them.
Right.
Right. So humble yourself.
Right.
And get to work. You know.
I do find, you know, you had talked about, you know, you kind of develop into your best self the longer you are in practice. A few weeks ago, I was over in Maui on another island getting adjusted, and there's a Gonsed practitioner there who's been in practice 30 years. So he's the only one in the state who's been doing it longer than me. And so I reached out to him. I was like, I would love to get adjusted. And he was like, yeah, please come adjust me as well. And he was the most humble. I mean, he really reminded me of Mike Stewart. He was just very deliberate. Yep. And it was almost like watching somebody do Tai Chi. He was very slow with it. And I was thinking, like, you are nowhere near arrogant enough to be a Gonsed chiropractor. But again, he's just, he's developed, you know, it's like, I don't need to argue with anybody. I don't need to fight with anybody because I know what I know and I'm not trying to prove it. It's like the little yap yap dog that's trying to pretend it's a bigger dog. Whereas there's a quote that says something like the lion never walks into a room and has to tell people it's a lion. They just know.
Right.
It's hard. So that's, I think the older you are in practice, you have less need for that nonsense.
The less things impress you, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you see 100 patients a day. Good for you.
Right.
Great.
Exactly. Like, you know what you want and you know how to get it. And so you don't need to be, you don't need to flex on somebody else. And if somebody else flexes on you, you're like, I really don't care.
So don't care.
Yeah.
Could care less.
And I will say in the Gonstead world, I think there's this kind of this tendency to be like, I'm more Gonstead than you are. So I see it in a lot of younger doctors. I think, you know, when we get to be in kind of our age, we tend to lose that at least a little bit. But, you know, like, you're in practice and it takes you these guys who will adjust people in like 2-3 minutes. And then when they teach a seminar, they're like, oh, let me show you my analysis. And it takes like 35 minutes. And you're like, the hell are you doing? You're just flexing. You're just trying to show off now. This isn't what you do.
So, no, it isn't. I mean,
if 30 minutes was what you do in a seminar, that should be what you do with each patient. And if 5 minutes is in the seminar, that's what you should be doing with each patient. So
if it's taking you 30 minutes to find a subluxation, there's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
Sorry. You know, right. And all of this dogma too, this whole find it, except where you find it, fix it, leave it alone. Mm-hmm. We're too focused on leave it alone.
Mm, yes.
Instead of the find it and fix it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, what does fix mean?
Right.
I mean, give one adjustment and never see the patient again for 20 years. Like, what have you taught them?
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, put a Band-Aid on it and go. What, you know, at the end of the day too, we are chiropractors.
Right.
Right. The philosophy that's in those green books that was given to us by DD and BJ is as vital and as important to a Gonstead chiropractor as it is to anybody else. It is who we are. It is the reason that we are. And make no mistake, Dr. Gonstead was very much into chiropractic philosophy.
Exactly.
Right? So if we ever lose that philosophical aspect of chiropractic, we've lost everything.
Correct.
Right? Because then all we are is just a technician and we're no better than the medical people. You know, so we have to keep chiropractic in Gonstead chiropractic, just as much as our analysis in the scientific mind is that philosophy. As I'm getting older in practice, I'm realizing that philosophy is super, super, super important.
Absolutely. I think there is a criticism I hear from non-Gonstead people that, oh, the Gonstead people are just, they're all mechanical and no philosophy. I'm like, no. Philosophy is our foundation. You're like, we don't question the philosophy. That's why our science and our art is built on that philosophy. So like, I am as principled as I can possibly be. So I just don't question it. And I don't have to rely on philosophy to cover up my faulty technique. I don't have to give a crappy adjustment and then say, well, innate will provide. It's like, no, I'm doing good quality work. That's why this patient is getting better. And the patient's getting better because of the innate recuperative powers of the body to heal itself.
Exactly.
So I don't question that philosophy.
Yep. So. I mean, if innate was going to do it all, well, then just fall down the stairs. Why go to a chiropractor?
Exactly.
Right. So, you know, there's a balance there. And I think that's what we have to strive for is that balance.
Right.
And it's not to say that we don't need to be excellent in our technique. We have to be.
Absolutely.
We have to be. We owe it to our forebears to be excellent in our technique. And we owe it to the patient to deliver deep corrective adjustments. I mean, we have to, because they'll never get better otherwise. You know, and I have multiple post x-rays to show the difference.
Yeah.
And you know, we can't be afraid to use the tools at our disposal. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's actually a big thing when students call me and they're like, you know, I mean, what should I do? And I'm like, what do you think you should do, doc?
Yeah.
You know, well, I think I should take another film and figure this out. I'm like, I think you should. Do it. Yeah. What's holding you back?
Right.
What is holding you back? These people are paying $100 a pop at a gas tank. you know, to fill their gas tank, to go drive, right? Where is the value being assigned, mm-hmm. right? We're so afraid to demand that our patients pay for our services. Mm-hmm. Well, how priceless is an adjustment?
Correct.
You know, especially a Gonset adjustment done right. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's right. that worth? Right. You know, what's that worth when you adjust a baby who's having seizures and they, as soon as you adjust them, they stop having seizures.
Right.
What's that worth?
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Are you going to bargain shop? You're going to call around and see what's the cheapest adjustment to find out? Or are you going to go to the guy who gets it done?
Right. And that's it. Right. So, you know, you have to use that philosophy to fuel your passion for the technique. Right. And, you know, not be afraid to say also too, to say, look, you're too far gone, or there's, you know, this is not going to be a one time, put you on the knee chest, deliver a hoop and soccer, and you're going to be fine. You know, you also have to know who you are. Like when I first started in practice, man, I was horrible. You know, I'm still learning and striving to get better, you know, 22 years into this.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. Mm-hmm. You know, it can always improve.
Right.
You know, so I think that it's okay when you're a student to come out and to see people multiple times, mm-hmm. you know, until you're familiar with their spine and you're comfortable. You know, don't feel that pressure that, you know, they walk in the door and you have to deliver the goods in one visit.
Right.
I mean, I certainly did. I'm sure you did. Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, if I could go back and talk to my younger self and be like, bro, there's no rush.
Yeah.
There's no rush, right? It doesn't matter how long it takes you to figure this out. You know, even if today all you're going to do is pump the disc and send them on your way, if that's what you're comfortable for, that is okay.
Right.
You know, cut yourself some slack.
Right. And, you know, as a new practitioner, I think we get out of school where we've gone through testing where there's like a right answer. And so the tendency is to try to figure out for this patient, what is the right answer? And you're going to get it wrong some of the time. And so it's going to be this moving target where it's like, based on everything I think I'm going with sacrum on this patient, and you do it. And then you follow up with them and you're like, this is not getting better. You got to have that. You have to be the doctor. That's where being the doctor and not being an A student comes into play. Because you have to be able to figure out, but you have to be able to jump off of your answer and say, well, let me step back and analyze this differently. Like, am I doing, you know, why is this not helping? You know, is it something the patient's doing? Is it my adjustment? Is it my table of choice? Is it, you know, involved side up, involved side down? Like, there's a lot of variables to change, but that's where becoming a doctor comes into play.
And it gets easier as the longer you do it, you know, exactly. And I'm still to this day, patients will be like, well, what's going on? I'm like, I have no idea.
Right.
I'll straight up tell them, I don't know.
Right.
But I'm sure going to try to fix it.
Yeah.
I
tell people that you'll be wrong less and less as you go along, you know, as you get years underneath you in practice,
yes.
But you're still going to be wrong. You're never 100% right.
You can't account for all the variables in people's lives, especially these days with the amount of stress and then getting through COVID, holy mackerel. I mean, also, you know, with people with, you know, post-COVID, whether they're vaccinated or unvaccinated, it doesn't matter. That spike protein in COVID has caused a lot of issues with my patients that I'm having to accommodate for. And it's a constant learning experience, mm-hmm. right? We're on new territory now.
Right.
And I'm like, why the heck is this person's T8 popping up? I've never adjusted T8. Mm-hmm. Like, why all of a sudden is T8 being a factor, you know? And it's just, here it is. You know, the slope says it's there. The edema says it's there. The everything says it's there. And so I'm just like, okay, I guess I'm adjusting T8. And they get better. And I'm just like, how in the heck is this possible? And you just don't know, right? So you have to have that inquisitive mind. And that's where the accept where you find it, right? Accept where you find it. I mean, and then fix it, leave it alone.
Yep. Yep. Oh, Rich Benjamin, I could talk to you for hours, and I think it's already been about an hour. So I need to I need to wrap it up. I know it's Friday night, and you're a party animal. No, I'm kidding.
I got kids, man.
Now, come on. But where can students, I know we've been preaching about shadowing and all of that stuff. I know you do allow students to come out and see you. I know you're close to, you're close to Sherman, but you're also, you're not too far away from Life. You're maybe about 4 hours.
4.5 hour drive, you know, up to Life. And I'm actually going to be at the Gonsant seminar coming up in August down at Life.
I'm actually planning to head out there, man.
Yes.
Let's do it. First time I see you since probably like 2013 or something. Yeah.
Tropical cuisine, lemongrass. Let's do it.
Heck yeah.
So I'll be there. So if anybody wants to come, you know, have lunch and talk, I mean, I'm happy to do that. And then you can call me in my office, 803-547-9977. That's my office number.
Gotcha. And then email that you're email
it. Hey, real easy. gonsaiddoc@gmail.com.
Oh, you got that one before anybody else. You're sneaky.
Yes, I did.
Beautiful. Yes, I did. Well, always a pleasure, sir. And, you know, keep doing the good quality work you're doing out there. I appreciate there's fewer and fewer principal quality doctors like yourself. You know, there's a few spots that, you know, I feel comfortable referring patients to, but you are definitely one of them. And I value you and I appreciate you for what you do and your commitment to the craft.
Well, likewise to you, my friend. You know, we got to keep this going and hopefully, you know, we can have an effect on the generation when we're too old and feeble to give an adjustment. At least we can teach young guys to carry the torch.
I really want the next generation, you know, we can't save them all, but you know, anybody that we can get in the boat, you know, I definitely want to save them. Logo that I have for this Cairo Compass podcast is a baby sea turtle, because in my opinion, it's like, all these new graduates are these baby hatchling turtles that are trying to get down to the ocean and they're getting picked off. And so there's only a few that make it out. So I want to try to help more of them get to where they can, you know, live and become healthy turtles.
I'm all about that. Anything I can do to help, you let me know.
All right. We appreciate you, Dr. Rich.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, I want to give another big thank you to Dr. Rich for taking the time to inspire and motivate us. Remember, he can be reached at his office at 803-547-9977, or you can email him at gonsaiddoc@gmail.com. We appreciate your support here at the Cairo Compass Podcast. As always, please subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and please consider sharing this with your classmates so we can help as many future chiropractors as possible. Thanks for listening.